Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. This episode's one that I've given thought to doing for several months now, and I've been trying to figure out how to approach it because I didn't want to come across as too pessimistic or a downer, but I do think it's a topic that needs to be covered because I think it's something that a lot of us that are really into keeping tarantulas and this hobby, and we'll get into that later on, we don't give enough thought to. We don't really think about it a lot. And the way I'm going to kind of frame it is several years ago, I believe it was right almost 4 years ago to the day, maybe April of 2018, when I first started the podcast, I put a thing out on Facebook asking for folks for questions for the podcast. I love doing those. I got to do one of those again. That reminds me, I actually meant to do it a couple weeks ago and forgot. But anyway, I put out questions, and one of the questions came from my buddy Eddie Marquis, who was asking what I thought the state of the hobby was, and specifically, you know, how many vendors we have. It was more centered around just your ability to find and buy spiders in the United States. And I'm going to let folks know ahead of time, but I would hope folks will chime in. Most of this is focusing on the hobby in the United States. Obviously, I'm a keeper in the States. We have things going on right now in the States that, for lack of a better term, are making a lot of us nervous about our ability to continue to keep many of the species that we keep. So I figured, why don't we tackle this and start it off as kind of the state of the hobby today in 2022? What does the hobby look like in 2022? How has it changed even over the last, and I'm just going to look at the last like 4 or 5 years that in the period I did this first state of the hobby, and now, what are some of the things that change? And then as we get into it, what we're going to do is look at this bizarre idea we have of quote unquote the hobby. We all say it, we all use it, the hobby. What is the hobby? So that's what we're going to break into here. We're going to look at what the state of the hobby is right now, some of the pros, some of the cons, some of the good, some of the bad, some of the things that have changed over the last several years. And then we're going to go ahead and try to break down what is the hobby and how should we best, most effectively promote our hobby. So to start off, state of the hobby, I think the best way to start off is kind of a positive note, at least here in the United States, and talk about how the hobby has been in terms of being able to find different species and being able to support, quite frankly, many, many new businesses that cater to tarantula hobbyists, many vendors and dealers and breeders that are seeing a rather lucrative returns from selling tarantulas. Now, this is not to say that selling tarantulas is an easy business. It's not. We've gone over that before. I think a lot of people see what prices they command. They go out, they decide, hey, I'm going to start breeding. I'm going to become a dealer. I've talked about this before. And then within a year, they're completely out of business. They buy a bunch of stuff up. They realize it's not that easy and they go out of business. But I do think one of the things that I've noticed between now and like 4 years ago or 5 years ago, let's just go over the last, 10 years or so, a lot more dealers out there, a lot more thriving dealers that have a huge amount of species available. Back when I first started getting serious in the hobby and was shopping around, there were a handful of dealers, one of which has already gone under, Pet Center USA. But Pet Center USA was like the big one where you went, and they always had upwards of 100 species available. And then you had other people and other businesses selling them that would usually have fewer species, but you could always count on them to have something cool. Nowadays, it seems more normal to have some of these places carry a lot larger selection, which is great for the consumer because, again, we've talked about before how expensive it is to ship tarantulas in the U.S. They have to use FedEx. FedEx is very expensive. FedEx keeps going up year after year after year. And so trying to get these things shipped to us, it costs a lot of money. So you usually want to get more bang for your buck. And the one thing I've noticed is now it's a lot easier to go to one place and get a bunch of species you want at one time to save on your shipping. And that's fantastic. That's something that, back in the day, I'd sit there and go online and I'd have these lists and I'd find somebody that would have one spider, somebody would have another spider I wanted, third party might have another spider I wanted. It was very difficult. Now, it appears much easier to go out and find a lot of what you want at one place. And then, as mentioned earlier, we also have a lot more species available. Not only are a lot more species established in the hobby now, but it seems like every time you turn around, there are new species being offered from places, things you've never heard of before. I was on a tarantula dealer's website not that long ago, and I actually had a notebook and pad out because most of the species or a lot of the species they were offering, I'd never even heard of before. So I was copying these names down, going to Google them, trying to look them up, trying to find out more information about them just because I was interested, because what'll happen is these things will come out, these new species, people will buy them. And then, which I think is an ultimate compliment, I will get emails or messages on YouTube from folks who are like, hey, I just bought this new species. You were the first person I came to see if you had it. And unfortunately, a lot of times lately, I don't. So I think in terms of business is booming here with the tarantula hobby. There are a lot of folks out there doing quite well. And for the what that means for folks like us, the consumers, the ones that are buying these, there are a lot more species available than I think we've ever seen before. I think back in the day too, what would happen often is we would go on to the forums, we would see that the UK or someone in Germany had this new species, and it was usually several years before that new species made it to the United States. It was after that point, all our European friends were showing off all their beautiful specimens, and we're like, man, I can't wait for those to come over here. And it seems to me that that time period has become much shorter, ridiculously short now. It's like something's discovered, the Europeans have it, and then we have it over here. Granted, it's super expensive. And I think, you know, two spiders come to mind with this one, Birupes cimaroxigorum and the T. celadonia, two species that they were discovered. They were in Europe, they were in the US. And many of us in the hobby, and this is where we got to start altering our lines of thinking a little bit. Many of us in the hobby feel like that's a good thing. We don't have to wait anymore. We've spoken before about this hobby demands attention, but unfortunately, people in general are very used to instant gratification. You want a movie now, you can download the movie and watch it. You can go online and find it illegally, sadly. If you want something, you know, to buy something and you want it next day, you go on Amazon, you get next day, 2 days later. We're very used to getting stuff quickly. So I think that's worked against us, because as much as the business is thriving, as much as we're getting more species, this means much more importation. And I do not have the facts to back this up, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you took 10 years ago now, there are a heck of a lot more people in the United States importing tarantulas yearly. I would be willing to bet my collection on that, that there are a lot more people now, and hopefully legally so, importing tarantulas. But what does that mean? Let's look at the negative side of this a bit. This means we have more exposure, and we have more exposure to the people that are regulating this kind of stuff. And I think that's why we're starting to see some stuff pop up that's quite frankly frightening, because I think for years, the hobby enjoyed a position where we were flying under the radar. I spoke many times about in the 90s, when you'd go to these big pet expos, it was all about snakes. It was all about reptiles. It was all about amphibians. And then somebody at a table would have a few tarantulas to sell, because nothing draws eyeballs and attention than a big angry spider in the middle of the table. And I can remember going back, obviously there was people that would have several different species there, but it wasn't like nowadays where I look at these videos of these big expos when the influencers go out there and they record everything, the amount of animals, the amount of tarantulas. We have actual tarantula dealers then. Back then, I do not recall many actual tarantula dealers. The majority of folks would be somebody selling reptiles that managed to get a hold of a couple, usually wild-caught tarantulas, to draw more people to their table. So we have a lot more people buying them now. We have a lot more importation. We are a lot more visible than we were 10 years ago or 20 years ago when, you know, folks were obviously, the government was starting to regulate the reptile hobby and paying more attention to the snakes and the reptiles and stuff coming in. Tarantulas were kind of flying under the radar. We don't enjoy that protection anymore. We are no longer under the radar. And that's where we're going to move on to the second part of this. And believe me, it's all going to come together at the end, I hope. One of the reasons I waited to do this, because I really want to make sure that it logically comes together. But let's move on to number two, which would be social media. Social media with tarantulas is booming. I mean, obviously, we're talking about people using tarantulas back in the day to draw more eyeballs to the table. Nothing freaks people out like a big scary spider, and people love to see that kind of stuff. Go, oh my God, it's so scary, I'd kill it, I'd light it on fire. All that good stuff. We now have more social media outlets than ever for people to share their love of this hobby. And when I'm talking social media, we're going to break these two into two different pieces here. The first one, social media, I'm talking about the entertainment aspect of it, the information sharing. We're talking about the people that are, I guess the term is influencers, the ones that are putting out information for folks publicly and for people to consume, whether it be they're looking for information, more often than not as entertainment. I'm going to break off another huge section of social media for the third part of this, because I do believe they should be, there should be differentiation between the two. So let's look at some of the social media things we have. The other day I went on, there was TikTok videos featuring tarantulas. Nothing's going to get folks' attention like big spiders. We have people dancing with the spiders. We have people holding the spiders. We have people feeding the spiders, all kinds of things to attract attention. We have Instagram. I happen to like Instagram. I use it more as, for me, I like to pretend like nobody knows who I am when I post tonight, because I just like to throw up pictures of my spiders, because I use my Instagram to show others pictures of my spiders. It's kind of like my own personal electronic photo album, so to speak. But Instagram is another place where a lot of people get a lot of attention by posting up little short videos or pictures of their tarantulas. And then, obviously, the mother of all social media right now, especially as far as exotics hobbies go, YouTube. Everybody, YouTube is an entity unto itself, especially in the hobby. And I think that's where a lot of change has come. Because when I look back at when I first got interested in tarantulas, I bounced over to YouTube and I put in tarantula stuff and some stuff would come up. And there were some big, quote unquote, big tarantula YouTubers back then, Tarantula Guy 1979 or 79, I believe. A lot of us that got into the hobby and searched up stuff on YouTube found him back in the day and would watch his feeding videos. He was like a hero to a lot of keepers. And he had a pretty good, I think he was one of the top back in the day as far as subscriber counts for people that worry about it, because we're going to get into the aspect of YouTube being a profession as well. Then I remember John 3800, one of my personal favorites, was a guy that would just come on with his camera. The quality wasn't great, but you could tell he loved these animals. And let's not get into a debate. I know what's going to happen is there's people out there right now, they're going, oh, cringing, because for as many fans as these guys have, a lot of them have detractors. This isn't what this is about. This is about who was out there back, you know, 10, 15 years ago doing videos on YouTube. Tarantula Dan comes to mind, another one. I've watched him for years. Deadly Tarantula Girl, another one that's been around for at least 10 years or so. These are the ones that you would come on and you would go, wow, this is the pinnacle of the hobby. These guys are actually making YouTube videos about tarantulas and they're getting popular from it. Because let's look at what YouTube is. Most people get on YouTube to get an audience, to become, you know, to become, for lack of a better term, popular, to hopefully start making money with ads, with endorsements, with deals, all that good stuff. That's the normal mentality for people to get to YouTube. And these were the ones that originally started it off, some of the pioneers. I know I'm missing people, and I'm sure as soon as I'm done with this, somebody's going to go, what about this one? There were just four that came to mind. Anyway, my point is, when you look back at those, I believe Tarantula Guy had like 125,000 subscribers. John has like 50 or 60. Deadly Tarantula Girl, 50 or 60, I think. Tarantula Dan, I'm not sure he's had his turned off for years, but I know I thought he was around the 100K mark. It could be a lot higher than that. My point is, nowadays, look at some of the newer YouTubers out there that have exploded by just doing tarantula content. I am not one of these. I want to make that very, very clear. But there are a lot of folks out there that are making, they've already blown past some of these numbers in a fraction of the time. It's become a huge deal. It's become something that people can now, back in the day, it's like, what are your chances of becoming popular doing tarantula videos? Well, nowadays, they're pretty darn good. You know, again, I don't want to name a bunch of people off, but you know all the popular ones out there. And that's become a huge thing. So that's a good thing in a way, because what it does is it attracts more people to the hobby. We want the hobby to grow. We want people to join the hobby, start keeping tarantulas, start breeding tarantulas. We want it to sustain itself. I've said this to the point where, you know, people are probably sick of hearing it, especially in the States. We don't have enough breeding to sustain our own hobby. So these popular tarantula YouTubers, regardless of why they're doing it, are drawing more eyes in. They're entertaining. The quality of footage they are producing is amazing. Back in the day, it was just some dude with a camera with, you know, somebody holding it for him or just holding himself, grainy footage. They've taken it to all new levels as far as the quality of the footage being shot, the editing, the music, just some amazing stuff out there that goes above and beyond what you used to expect on YouTube. It's attracting so many more people in. But again, I'm going to go back to the fact that it also attracts more attention. There's positive attention and there's negative attention. When this becoming popular, with these people becoming as popular as they are, it is attracting, it's creating exposure. Exposure is good when we want new people in the hobby. Exposure is bad for a hobby that was able to fly beneath the radar for decades. So we haven't had to deal with a lot of government regulation. We haven't had to deal with a lot of restrictions over the course of the years until recently. And then it kind of blew up. And now that people have seen that, yes, you can create a YouTube channel, a successful YouTube channel with tarantulas, there's more people than ever doing this. So again, it cuts both ways. That's a lot more people interested, a lot more people brought to the hobby, but a lot more attention, especially in the United States, in an area where we didn't get as much attention. And I think what people fail to realize sometimes, that some of the folks that are responsible, that could be even more responsible for regulating which species we can, you know, sell across state lines, bring into the country, import, all that good stuff. Some of these people watch these channels. That's how they monitor us. That's how they figure out what's going on. They see stuff. So anything that goes on there, good or bad, they're seeing. Now let's move into the third social group before we start tying this all together at the end, hopefully with a nice little bow. Hopefully people are still following me. Hopefully people are really thinking about this, because I feel very strongly this is something we need to think about and address, because I think it is blown up to a point so quickly that we haven't realized that in a way we're going to be a victim of the hobby's success as time goes on. So let's look at the third major part of all of this. Social groups, social media groups. And this is why I wanted to separate this, because I feel like there are the folks out there that are entertaining, that are educating, whatever it may be, they're putting content out for the world to respond to. I feel like we need to separate that from the social groups. Now, back in the day when I first got into this and started doing research, there were a handful of sites out there, but the one place you would go to is Arachnoboards. Forums were still a pretty big deal. I think over the course of the years, the popularity of forums has kind of fallen a bit as we have new groups and new social media outlets for us to chit-chat and share notes and share pictures with our tarantula-keeping friends. Of course, we have Facebook groups have become enormous in the hobby. Lots of Facebook groups out there. Every time I turn around, I'm getting an invite to a new Facebook group, and I apologize because I usually don't respond to them because I'm not on Facebook. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of Facebook groups out there, many of which boast thousands, if not tens of thousands of people. Other groups that we have is, I know there are Reddits out there. Was Discord's becoming a popular one? There are lots of places besides the old forums for people to get online, join, and talk to folks about tarantulas. And some of these places are incredibly open with what people can post, what people can talk about. People don't feel the need to censor themselves when they're talking about animals. So a lot of this, the problem is a lot of this is out there in the public. And once again, it's a good thing in that back when I first started, you would go to, you know, I don't even think Facebook was nowhere near as big as it is now. When you'd want to converse with somebody, you'd go over to Arachnoboards and you would sit there and you'd type something out and then you'd go, I'm going to get shredded. So you delete it and not do it because you were afraid to say anything, because it could be a fairly hostile group. There are other groups out there like the Tarantula Forum. That was one that I did a lot more interacting on because it just seemed to be cool people, cool hobbies. I still pop on there every once in a while, see what's going on. Cooler people, more laid back, more open-minded, less likely to break out the pitchforks and the torches if you say something that they feel is, you know, should have been researched or whatever. But now we have all these big groups, people come on, share everything. And again, it brings more people to hobby. So a good point, we've got, just to go through it, more people selling than ever, more species available than ever, more people doing videos on them on YouTube and social media and TikTok and all that, more exposure, more people in the hobby. And then social groups are booming, more people on the social groups. And then once again, I have to go back to the fact these are public forums. Anybody can see them. So Fish and Wildlife, there are agents that are members of these forums that see everything that is posted. Another group that we like to think loves us and supports us, and we're all in this together, we're all part of a team, the taxonomists and scientists, the ones that do all the hard work, that go out and describe these species, that name them all, they're on these, and all these groups can see what we're saying. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's a cesspool of ignorant ideas. You know, I'll give an example, and I don't want to get too much in this, but Luis Roque and I, last time, and we have to chat again because it's a lot of fun talking to somebody that's informed and knows what they're talking about and has a similar outlook on the hobby. In our podcast about being an informed hobbyist, we spoke about the fact that a lot of folks think that the taxonomists should love us, should welcome us, look at what we're doing, and they don't. And a lot of it is because what we say can come across as very ignorant at times. We just had, I forget which species it was. Oh, is it H. gigas just got a, or H. gigas, geez, and that was the old name. T. gigas just got a brand new name. I'm not going to get into that right now because I'm on a roll with this one. But once again, new name, it means somebody examined it, studied it, looked at it, and said, this is what this species should be. And once again, we had people online saying comments like, this is why I use common names. Scientific names are ridiculous. And I get the frustration when you have something that's named something and then it changes. But they, again, it just shows, I hate to say it, and I apologize for anybody out there that might have made these comments, but it shows ignorance on the fact that you don't understand why this is such a good thing. And when people put stuff out like that, and then the folks that are in this business, the scientists, the taxonomists that are doing this work are on those threads watching this, it just makes us look silly. Now, speaking of exposure, we've talked about how the exposure can be good. Thriving businesses, you know, more imports than ever, more species than ever, social media, more people doing videos on them, social groups, more people getting together to discuss what they love, what they hate, sharing their thoughts on all these issues, good, bad, intelligent, unintelligent, whatever it may be. This brings good exposure, and now we come to the point, the bad exposure. We are at a point in the U.S. hobby where, again, we're done. We're above the radar. They know. They're watching us. We're not bringing our spiders in anymore without people recognizing what's going on. We have brought, in some cases, bad exposure to the hobby. And this is why I get upset and why I do podcasts when people are selling species to try to get away with skirting rules and such, because, and I had so many people come forward and be like, I don't understand, what's the big deal? This is the big deal. A lot of people feel like this is going to be the golden age of the hobby. We have more spiders coming in than ever, more species coming in than ever, more people making money on them than ever, whether it be YouTube videos, whether it be selling or breeding them. It's the golden age in the U.S., but a lot of people feel like a reckoning is coming. There has been talk for years that the hammer is going to come down, that we have enjoyed all of this freedom, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, in how much we import, the species we get in, how we conduct business, what we are able to do publicly. And now a lot of folks feel like or are worried that that's going to come crashing down on us because we are no longer under the radar. This newest issue with the American Competes Act, with the Lacey Amendments, is many feel the tip of the iceberg, that this is going to be the instrument that they use to really finally come down on us. And the problem is, I'm going to try to phrase this in a way that, again, when you deliver negative news, there's always run the chance of people going, you're a jerk, you're pessimistic, whatever. But I really, truly feel this. In many instances, we have not put our best foot forward. In many instances, we have done stuff that has brought this upon ourselves. When we publicly flaunt laws, when we put comments out there like, they're going to have to take my tarantulas from my cold, dead hands, this doesn't engender any sympathy from the folks out there that are watching. And believe me, they are watching. They are on these threads. Some folks don't even realize when they're interacting with these people. The problem is, we've done stuff in the hobby that has really, really cast us in a negative light. And the folks that are responsible for creating these laws that we're rallying against are seeing this, and it's not engendering any sympathy with them. So there is a bottom line, it's a fact. In the U.S. at least, we are likely going to see a lot more regulation in terms of tarantulas in this country, whether it be fair or not. I hear folks come up that the Lacey Act is outdated. It was not necessarily meant for something like this, but it doesn't matter. The infrastructure is there. The laws are there. And if they want to use them, especially if these amendments go through, they will have every right to use them and really clamp down on what we're able to get in this country. And I've talked to folks, I've spoken to folks, and they're usually the people that aren't necessarily part of quote unquote the hobby. They have tarantulas, but you know, they're the scientists, the taxonomists, folks that in the fish and wildlife that honestly feel like we're going to bring this upon ourselves by what we do, by how we act, by the fact that, and I've said this before, and I will always stand by this, it's a privilege to be able to keep these animals. There are so many places around the world where they aren't allowed to keep anywhere near the number of species we are. Some are allowed to keep any at all. I think of the folks in Australia. They come on my videos. They go, what a beautiful species. Unfortunately, I'll never be able to keep that. There are folks in South Africa that aren't able to keep Harpactera species. There's all kinds of limitations all around the world. There are countries right now that have a hell of a lot worse things going on that they're not worried about tarantulas because they're fighting for their independence in their country. There are so many things out there that in the grand scheme of things, I think what happens sometimes, and this brings me back to what I said, I was going to try to define, we fall back on the hobby. We always use the term the hobby, like it's this big organized entity that we all belong to, that we all enjoy membership to. When we talk about the hobby, it's like we're defending this big concrete thing that they can't take away from us. And then you have to, this is where it started getting interesting for me. What is, quote unquote, the hobby? What is this thing we're describing? And I think, unfortunately, although it means a hell of a lot to a lot of us out there, those of us who keep tarantulas, and again, I went into recently some of the things I've heard over the years for people, how important these animals are to people. I don't think we can lose that. When we went into the whole, you know, my description of the Lacey Act and stuff, I went into just how big of an impact keeping these animals that most people loathe can have on people's lives. It's huge. However, when we talk about the hobby, like it's this big thing to defend, what is the hobby? And the sad truth of it is, as much as we see it, is I do it myself. How many times, if you went through my podcast, how many times have I used the phrase the hobby? I bet you it's in the hundreds, if not higher. We all picture it as this big thing that it's really not. We are not an organized force. What are we? We are the sum of all of our parts, good or bad. We are social media. We are forums. We are YouTube. We are expos. We are the dealers and importers, the business side of it, the people who are producing these animals. We are the hobbyists sharing our opinion online. We're not an organized force. We're a bunch of people that enjoy keeping a particular type of arachnid that find pleasure in these animals. And that's about it. And unfortunately, although in these instances, we see ourselves as the good guys. We see ourselves as the ones that are keeping these animals. Nobody can love these tarantulas more than hobbyists do. I just had a kid the other day in school. He's like, Mr. Moran, he meant it seriously. He's like, you really love spiders, don't you? And I kind of looked at him because I thought he was going somewhere with it. Like a lot of times you get the kids will bust on you and everything. And he was serious. He goes, no, I find them very fascinating. But you can tell, like I've watched your videos. You can tell you really care about them. You love them. I do. I really find them incredibly fascinating. It's become a huge part of my life. Obviously, if we took away the podcast, YouTube, all that stuff, I would still be over here keeping them, enjoying them and having them be, you know, a huge stress release for me, having be something that occupy a huge amount of my time. But in the grand scheme of things, I have no rights to these animals. We've talked about it. It's a privilege. And although I feel like I should be able to keep them, and although all our keepers across the U.S. feel like it should be all right, why there's worse things to worry about, why are you bugging a bunch of us about keeping these animals? There are, and when stuff like this comes out with the Lacey Act and with the America Competes Act, we start to freak out because it's like, we have every right to have these. The sad truth of it is, as much as we want to see ourselves as the good guys, there are other groups out there that don't see it that way. The fish and wildlife agencies, they see us, they catch us doing things wrong. They catch us importing things that shouldn't be imported. Every time something like that happens, we may get a little slap on the wrist. Somebody may take a shipment of tarantulas, but that's another knock against us that these folks here, these tarantula hobbyists, do not want to follow the law. It's a bad look. It's terrible, terrible optics. We talk about the taxonomists. A lot of taxonomists do keep these animals, but a lot of the taxonomists look at how quickly we grab a bunch of animals out of the wild as soon as they are discovered and get them in the hobby. I think we talked about with Luis and I when we were chatting about the tarantulas taxonomists, why they don't necessarily like us the way we think they should. I think we talked about the fact that back in the day when you found a new animal, you put the coordinates down so that people would know exactly where you found it. And nowadays they're not putting the coordinates anymore because as soon as they put the coordinates down, somebody flies down there, grabs a bunch of them and smuggles them back and starts breeding them. So they're not looking at us. I know we want to, and I know there's, I would argue that there is some truth, that I really do believe that at some point in time, the only place you will find a lot of species of tarantulas are in personal collections. Good or bad, I do believe that. But we do need to examine the fact that whether we like to admit to it or not, we are part of the problem. There's that weird argument where it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's like, well, they're destroying all the habitat, so the spiders are going to be extinct, so we're grabbing them. And then there's the other way of looking at it. They're destroying all the habitat, the spiders are almost extinct, and now we're pulling even more of them out of their natural habitat, basically contributing to their extinction in the wild. There's two different ways to see this. This is not a black and white issue. This is not one of those issues that there's only our way and not the other way. We see it as we're saving these animals. other folks out there that are responsible for describing them, studying them for their conservation, see it as they are still being pulled out of the wild in large, unsustainable numbers in many regions. And guess who's contributing to that? Us. And I know we all liked it, and I do the same thing. This is kind of a moment where I have to ponder my own responsibility for what is, you know, for what happens. I can point to the Berupes cimaroxigorums, ones that I picked up, and it was a species that after I posted videos, I really struggled with whether or not I should get any. And I picked them up and I convinced myself, well, if I don't grab them, somebody else will, and they might kill them. That was my thought process, as silly as that may be. And then I put that video up and I had people from that area talking about how there's still people down there gathering them out of the wild to ship them out. So as much as I wanted to convince myself that, hey, the damage has been done, somebody grabbed a couple wild caught specimens out of the wild, they bred them. These are the captive bred babies. And therefore, you know, I'm not hurting anything in the wild. The damage is still being done. And that's why we start to get this bad look on, quote unquote, the hobby. We're not going, unfortunately, the way things work. And this is, you can do a million good things in the world. You do one really bad thing, what are you going to be remembered for? What are you going to be admonished for? What are you going to be, you know, get all the negative publicity for? It's going to be that bad thing. And unfortunately, the hobby, although we do a lot of good things in the hobby, I think we have a lot of smart people that, you know, respect what's going on, try to do the right thing. It doesn't take many of those little bad things, importing something that shouldn't be imported and getting caught with it, flaunting species that have literally just been discovered and now are in a bunch of people's collections in public, you know, doing videos on them, making public statements that even if they pass laws against tarantulas, you're just going to break the law because it's easier. Selling species across state lines that are forbidden to cross state lines and trying to make up excuses for it and having that debated publicly, where folks who not only are in charge of enforcing that law but might have actually wrote the law are watching the whole thing. These are all, sadly, the things that stand out to the folks that are in control of the situation, that do have the ability to come down on us, that do have the ability to stop the importation, that if this law goes through, do have the ability to basically blacklist everything if they wanted to. Now, I know when we put that thing out, there's a lot of folks out there saying that it's kind of scare tactics, that none of the right now it shouldn't impact tarantulas. It shouldn't, but can it? Yes. If you read the way the law is written, it could be any animal. It doesn't take much. So imagine somebody writes a law. Now, just throw this out there. Somebody writes a law saying that a certain species of tarantula can't cross state lines. And that person is also a hobbyist, whether we agree with the law or not. And that's not what this is about. That person is a hobbyist, is attuned to what goes on in the hobby, is on some in some of these groups. And we go out there and we flaunt in that person's face that we have found little ways to get around the law, or that some of us, we're not even like trying to be subtle about it. We're just breaking the law. Imagine what happens if that individual then gets the power to go, you know what? They're all illegal. And it sounds scary. It sounds frightening. It sounds like, how could they do that? But keep in mind, these are human beings too. And if I made a law about something and somebody flaunted it in my face, they were breaking it, and I got more power to enforce this law, to expand my enforcement of this law, you're darn right I'm going to use it. So this is the point we're at now. I believe we are at a pivotal time in the hobby, where as hobbyists, we have to recognize our personal responsibility and have to recognize how what we do and say in public impacts, quote unquote, that hobby, that it's not this huge entity or organization to 99% of the world out there. This is how you kind of have to look at it. We see it as this big thing. To 90% of the world out there, you say tarantula hobby, they go, oh, you mean all these weirdos that like to keep spiders? There's not a lot of love and respect for us because nobody gets what we're doing. So we have to remember that isn't this all, you know, powerful, illegal entity. It's a group of people who like spiders. It's a group of people who make money off selling spiders or making videos about spiders or TikToks about spiders. It's a group of people who like to go online and talk about spiders. That's all it is. So if these laws come down, a lot of the negative attention that we bring to ourselves is not going to help our situation any. And that's why I think it was important, after batting this around in my mind, to kind of take a step back, admit some things that I don't want to admit to, and realize that we are in a rough spot right now. So what is the state of the hobby? Let's get back to our original question. The state of the hobby is, again, I do believe we are in the golden age. I do believe that we're at a point where just about anything you see that's discovered, it makes its way into the hobby quickly. We can keep them. We can show them off. We can go online and show pictures of these rare species that we spend hundreds of dollars for. I think that we have more access to them than we've ever had before, at least, again, speaking of the United States. I think there are more people selling them, which allows you to price check, which allows you to save money in shipping, which is a great thing. I think if you're interested in them, there are so many social media outlets, you know, and then we're talking about the social kind where you can go and talk to other people about them and share pictures. Go, here's my spider eating. I'm having a bad day. Show me your best orange spider. All of that stuff is amazing. So I do think if I were to rate where we're at right now, as far as just what we're able to keep and what's available to us out there, as far as resources, the other thing we can add in there, for the first time in a long time, we actually have folks making tarantula enclosures and stuff just for our hobby. Again, that was part of flying under the radar. Yeah, we flew under the radar for years, so nobody was making tarantula enclosures, tarantula cages. Now, all of a sudden, some of these big pet product companies are realizing, hey, wait a minute, there's a whole market out there for these things. It's a beautiful time to be in it. I'd almost, you know, if we gave it a rating, I'd almost want to just give it an A. Like, everything's looking good. However, it's back to that other part, the exposure, because of the exposure, because we're out there, because unfortunately the ones that often speak loudest are the ones that we don't want speaking at all. We have earned a bit of reputation with the folks that are responsible for enforcing these laws, making these laws, for the folks that are responsible for their conservation, for describing these animals that we absolutely love. We've earned a bit of a negative reputation with them. And again, we can argue that the majority, I couldn't put numbers on how many of us are in the hobby doing things responsible, how many of us are the ones that we'd never want representing the hobby because they're not doing things we'd approve of. The problem is those are the ones that rise to the top. Those are the ones everybody's going to notice. It's always going to be the negative. So I think as far as the state of the hobby right now, it's as booming as I have ever seen it in my tenure as a keeper. It is, I mean, I'm excited daily to see new specimens offered, some that are just, you know, recently discovered. I think there's a lot of good going on, but I also think there is a shadow over the whole hobby right now. It's coming. It's like that thunderstorm in the distance where you can see the dark clouds coming in. You see some lightning in the background. I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like there may be a reckoning coming. I've spoken to many folks over the course of the last couple of years who are in the know that said, listen, you've enjoyed this type of freedom for many years. You've enjoyed the fact that you haven't been really regulated for many years, but all of that is about to change. And I don't say this to be doom and gloom. I don't say it to be negative, to scare people. It's to raise awareness for the fact that sometimes we get caught in our own little microcosm of the hobby, and we forget that we are, in the grand scheme of things, a very small entity, for lack of a better term. We are a group of people that aren't going to be supported by most people outside of the quote-unquote hobby. We are a group of people that have created some ill will between us and the people that are responsible for enforcing these laws that may be coming down. And it's something we need to be really careful moving ahead to start putting our best foot forward. It's crucial that now that we're contacting senators, we're contacting the government, we're trying to get them to see how important these animals are to us, how important they can be to many people. We want to make sure that moving forward, we show that we're responsible. We show that we can respect laws. When we contact folks or when we put stuff online, we don't want to put threatening statements towards agencies or people or senators. Yes, I think in the U.S. we have a problem. We always feel, a lot of us feel like the government steps in where the government should just worry about itself, that they're all overextending their reach into things that they really shouldn't worry about. And that's all fine and dandy, but in many cases, they do have the power. The people are watching what we're doing. And if we don't make ourselves look a little better than we have in the past, that's going to bode poorly for us. I know I've said it before, and I think some people took it the wrong way, and it got turned into a negative thing in some instances, but I really do think as a quote-unquote hobby, we need to do a better job policing ourselves. It affects, somebody does something dumb, somebody does something illegal, somebody puts something out there that's incendiary. Well, that does none of us any good. So Moving ahead, what is the state of the hobby right now? It's been the best I've ever seen it in terms of just a lot of amazing things happening. It's just grown to a point where if it continued to grow this way, we might not be that little fringy weird group. It might be something that's more accepted by more folks out there. We might not be so frowned upon. You know, again, we've all seen it. You tell people you collect tarantulas and they look at you like you're crazy. But I think more and more people and more quote unquote, I hate to use this term, but like normal everyday people are getting into the hobby. Every time I turn around, there's a grandmother contacting me that got her daughter or grandson one, and they're doing it together. They're doctors, lawyers, intelligent. And it doesn't need to be educated people. There are a lot of intelligent people out there, just working class folks that are doing a nice job and representing us well. And we need to make sure that those are the signals we're putting out. That is the image of this entity that we love going forward, so that we don't cut our own throats, because that is the point we're at now. I don't know. Has the damage already been done? I don't know. There are people out there that feel like it has. There are people out there that feel like in 10 years' time, the hobby isn't going to look anything at all like it does now in the United States. Then it might look more like it did with the 90s, where we have a handful of species that we can legally keep, and that's it. And I hope it doesn't come down to that, because that would be a huge, and I'm speaking myself selfishly here for myself, that would be a huge loss in my life as far as things that I enjoy doing and love doing. But that might be where we're headed if we're not careful. So I do this not to be doom and gloom. You can take it, you can leave it. I'm sure there are people listening to this right now that are pissed off at me, because how dare you say that? We've done so much good. And I know there's going to be people that jump up, talk about we've done more for animals than anybody else. But I implore you, look at the other side of it. Look at the other perspective of it. Look at some of the stuff that we post. Look at some of the stuff that we flaunt out there. And look at the fact that when it comes to government, it's not always fair. They can do stuff and they get away with it. So even if we did everything by the books, they can still bring the hammer down on us, and there's not much we can do about it if it happens. And then going forward and saying, I would just import illegally and stuff like that, does not engender any sympathy, does not give us a good look. So moving ahead, anybody that's listening, we got a pretty good audience now. Not obviously probably a very small fraction of folks out there that keep tarantulas, but I think a good enough to kind of have a little movement where we start to be a little more careful what we say. We monitor what goes on. Again, I'm not on the Facebook groups, but we start, you know, noticing when we put something out there that's going to make us look bad. I think in our own little group, you know, stuff you say, we all joke about it. There's stuff you would say at home that you wouldn't say in public. And unfortunately, we feel like our little groups, when we're talking about spiders, is home. We feel like there's some privacy, some intimacy there when we're talking to friends and, you know, Facebook group friends or whatever it may be about our animals. But the truth of the matter is, it's all public. So it's literally like taking what you would say in your home and bringing it out into a group of people and saying it in front of everybody. We got to be very careful about that. We got to be very careful when people are skirting laws, that the importation laws, the Lacey Act laws, that we don't encourage that. We don't go online and go, it's a stupid law anyway. I would break it too. That's not good. I just really worry that people don't recognize the looming threat that we could be looking at right now. Even if this Lacey Act doesn't go through, and these Lacey Act amendments, even if it doesn't go through, even if it goes through and they don't immediately attack it, they say, hey, we're not worried about tarantulas right now. There's many that feel there's something else coming down the way. So let's put our best foot forward. Let's keep it the golden age of tarantula keeping. Let's make sure we follow laws. Let's make sure we give some thought before we put something online as to how it could be taken. Let's just be more responsible. Again, a lot of what I've talked about on this, starting with my chat with Louise, starting with other chats, is being a responsible keeper. When you write your letters, be polite, be formal, be respectful. Don't make threats. Don't use coarse language. Somebody recently emailed me with an email that they sent, and I just wanted to cry because it was literally like threatening the government. Like, that's not going to get your senator to do anything. You're going to be labeled as a crackpot. You're gone. You're done. You've lost your voice as far as this issue is concerned. So let's, moving forward, all agree to be the keepers that we need to be. Maybe someday we do turn this into an actual entity. I mean, there's been talks for years about creating a group. I know people have tried. It was met with some resistance. I won't get into why I think that happened, but maybe someday along the lines, we do have something like USA ARC to protect us, but we don't have that right now. We're very, very vulnerable. And if we aren't careful, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where 10 years from now, if I'm still doing podcasts, it's going to be a very different story. It's going to be, hey, this is Tom Moran. Remember back in the day when I had 200 species of tarantulas? Well, I have four now. And I just don't want to see that ever become my reality. So hopefully you guys take this with, you know, as it's intended, as a heads up. It's a warning. It's a let's take a deeper look at ourselves. I'm hoping that some folks will look at this or listen to this and kind of look at their own, you know, habits, what they're posting, what they're doing, and just kind of take it all in. Let's make sure we have a different perspective than just the narrow one a lot of us often hold, where we're just this awesome, great hobby and everyone loves us and we should have our spiders. Let's look at what, whether we agree or not, how other people view us and how what we do now on social media, on YouTube, what we do when we import, all that stuff has now garnered a good deal of attention. And if we don't put our best foot forward, if we aren't careful, we could see all of this go away. So hopefully some folks take that to heart, and hopefully next week I'll try to come up with a more upbeat topic. But I really felt like this has been brewing for a while, probably well over a year. There's been things that have happened that have just really got me worried, got me nervous, and put this whole thing in perspective. So hopefully this just helps some people to kind of think about things differently. Next week we'll do something fun. We'll figure something out. I feel like I have to now. But again, not meant to be doom and gloom, just meant to be kind of a battle cry, a wake-up call. Like, this is it, guys. If you really want to defend our quote-unquote hobby, we need to start being a little bit more cognizant of the image that we're putting out. So that will do it for this one. Any folks who want to check it out, I did put up a Zanestis Species Blue video on YouTube. We debuted the new theme song. Yes, I will probably swap out the theme song on the podcast with the new one. I was going to hold on to it for a while. We'll see. But I think it only makes sense to have the two of them match. That's going to be my theme song. There's no reason keeping that other one around, but I do kind of miss it when I go into the podcast. Like, for a while, that's been the only time I've heard it, is putting these podcast together, because I stopped using on the videos. But hopefully some folks will want to run over and check out that video, because Billy got some absolutely amazing footage of my Zanestis Species Blue. Like, it was really, when I was editing it, there was a point in the video I had to cut out like 30 seconds, a minute of it, because I just brain farted out because I was staring through the viewfinder at the pictures Billy was getting, and it just looked so gorgeous. I'm like, oh crud, I stopped talking. So hopefully some folks check that one out. Next week we'll have the update video on the bad molt. I do want to get that one out there. And after that, we may do a true spider rehousing. So that will do it for this one. As always, you can find me on thomasbigspiders.com. You can find me on YouTube. Guys, stay safe, be kind to each other, be cognizant of what we're posting online and how we're reacting to things, and we'll catch you all next time.